2. So you'll be little Lie algebra as O2. So actually, it's basically the same as, kind of almost by definition, the same as it's kind of defined to be the same as UQ SL2 that I was talking about earlier, the example. It's because this correspondence between so on the left, on one hand, you have these real groups, real Lie groups, say. And on the other hand, you have these complex Lie groups. So, and they are obtained by complexification. So, for example, let's just write down, this one will be like big SO2, for example. And in here you get big SO2 and you obtain, there are two ways to get there. One way is through the Lie algebra. So you first get to the Lie algebra level, you have little SO2. Then you do complexification. Like just by, this is a real manifold, so you stick in an I. So you can go this way, and through this construction, you get SL2. Then you can, say, recover this one, right? And then the other way is you can look at this as an algebraic group, and you can look at the ring of functions on the algebraic group. I guess.
Right, so little SO2 is the anti-symmetric matrices.
Little SO2 is just trace zero. Oh, SO2.
Isn't it?
I don't remember. So this one is supposed to be determinant one. So this trace.
Right, but it's also as orthogonal, so that's the anti-symmetric part.
Okay, so what's
and determinant one is trace zero, I guess. So, and then SL2, what is little SL2?
It's the trace zero one. I mean, this...
It's not, it's all trace zero.
No, you can go through and find out what they are. I'm just telling you the general picture.
Sorry, I have to understand it because I didn't realize they're the same, respectively the same Lie algebra.
They're not the same Lie algebra. You do it by complexification.
Yeah,
okay. So, kind of, introduce another complex in imaginary dimension to each real dimensions. So you kind of tensor. So maybe this is like taking a little SO2 tensor C over R type of thing. So as the vector space, do the same vector space, and you need some, you know, you check. I mean, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I just want to say how the theory, so I want to say how the quantum group theory on this side generalized to quantum group theory on this side. So let's not get.
Yeah, I am just confused. So if you did that, you would get S U two.
So if you complexify S O 3, you obtain S U 4 on the right.
SU4?
Yes.
Well, okay. Because it's exact correspondence. Okay. I did not check. So maybe, was it SO2? Okay. Actually, I did not spend a lot of time doing the particular examples. But you get the idea. Well, maybe, okay. So maybe this. Okay. The picture is like, or the other way you can do this way, looking at. So anyway, because I really did not, like, I just want to know how the story on this side gets the story on this side. So let's say, okay, maybe all these are not the right group to consider as an example, but now you can complexify the ring of function. This will be a ring over R, and on this side you can complexify by getting a ring over C, just like brute force, allowing C linear combinations of your functions, regular functions. So you get, basically, you should get, like, you will get some, actually the ring of function over this. So in this sense, they're kind of the same, pretty much the same modulo complexification. So this story carries for simple, like nice groups over here, but for slightly more complicated groups, like non-semi-simple or something, you don't have, for certain class, this is a bijection, this construction. But if you relax conditions on here, you might have more than one on this side going to one on this side. But in any case, so let's just deal with the class of groups where there's a bijection, which are the probably simple, semi-simple. Anyway, the class where they have a bijection, then this any like UQ on this side, you say talk about a quantum group for these real groups, will be kind of by definition to be quantum groups of the complex Lie groups. Because our theory only works with this side. I mean, that we talk about. So, and we always assume we have a, like, almost always semi-simple complex Lie algebra, which is like this kind of stuff, and we work from there. We construct UG for that thing. This is like a side thing to answer. So instead of actually constructing SO2, I'll just say that, we either have solved this problem by definition or something. So, let's start with Grünfeld's quantum double. Oh my god, I'm forced to write down things that. The goal of this thing is to get a braiding, basically. Right, what this gives you, this is useful for get turning and finite dimensional Hopf algebra with n-tuple to braided Hopf algebra, also finite dimensional, but it will be bigger dimension. I guess dimension will be like if this is, you start with an algebra dimension n, you might get something like, I think n squared. So let's look at the construction. And this will not give us a whole construction since there will be new definitions involved. But so I'll say at a glance, like I'll say what we need, we'll see what we need and try to define them. So what you would end up with, so like let H be finite dimensional. Hopf algebra with invertible n-tuple. Then, so quantum double you can define as. I did not write down quantum double, but this is the quantum double of H notation. I did not write down the word. So if this thing, I haven't told you what it is. Maybe I might have mentioned this, but this is some as a vector space the same as a dual of H, but it has slightly different algebra structure. Do that. I'll write it down in a moment. And there's this thing, which is the by cross product construction with H. As a vector space, it's the same as this vector space tensor this vector space. This is how I got the dimension tensor. But this construction, so in specifying this, you have vector space structure, and you want to give it a Hopf algebra structure. And in particular, you need this. You need to give a Hopf algebra structure, and those things depend on a couple of actions. An action of H on that, and then an action of this on this side. And those things are obtained based on co-adjoint representations. So I need to explain this, and I need to explain this. You kind of know something about it probably, but you need to twist it around to get both this on that and that on that. So, okay. All right, let's start with the bi-cross product. If you have questions, you can ask. I actually, so this thing, I want to start with kind of like examples or build up to this notion. Otherwise, it might seem unnatural if I just write it down. Okay. So I will just write it like this. And this is too bad. So let's start. I want to say that this bi cross product construction for bi algebras is a generalization of, say, semi direct product for groups. Or even the just the group product is fine too. But those are special cases of this. But let me start with a non trivial step, which is the semi direct one. So it's. So we'll build up from there. So semi direct product for groups. Just a reminder and write out things so that you see why the next step is follows. I mean, as a natural generalization. So I will write out, remind you. What did I say? Okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay. So let's H. And K be groups, right? So you denote it this way. So I'm trying to construct, I want to put a group product on H cross K such that H is a normal subgroup of K. So that you don't need to get this confused. So H will be a normal subgroup in the new product, with respect to the new product. So B groups. So how we do, so let's start with this external. So when you view it as each subgroup, that you get this action by conjugation. But let's start with the construction where they're just groups and they're not subgroups of anything else, and try to put them together. But to do that, what you need is that you have a group homomorphism. So let K, suppose K has a left action on H by group automorphism. So let me say what this means exactly. So i.e. there exists a group homomorphism from K to automorphism of H. So I guess this group automorphism refers to the part that it acts as automorphism of H. And just define the notation. So this is phi, and this you take K to phi K. The phi K denotes the thing image of K under this. So now we can put this group structure on this. On the set H. So let me just say set so you don't get confused. It's not the direct product of groups, but on this set by so this is something in H cross K, and you have something else in H cross K. And what happens is you take the first element, you want to put the second H here, but you let this act on it first. Phi K act on it for K1. You let this one kind of mix twist with this one. And then the K remains unchanged, so K1 and K2. And these are the group product in K, and this is group product in H. Okay, so that's the thing that you have seen before. And if you use the action notation, so this is like kind of K1 acting on K2, right? So then you will write K1 acting on H2, K1 acting on H2, K1, K2. So I'm just saying this, so H cross K with this new product, like above, it gives you the semi-direct product of, I'm just fix the terminology. It's called the semi-direct product of K by H. Hope I'm getting that direction right. So kind of there's an asymmetry there, right? So the two sides are not the same, K by H. And so if you check, you can check that with respect to this group product, that H is a normal subgroup in K, like H cross H. So two properties, H cross identity is a normal subgroup in H, in this semi-direct product. Second thing is that you have, this is the same as conjugation. So H1 then multiplied by 1K inverse. In this inverse, you have to calculate what it is. Now, so since you see that this semi-direct product is kind of a asymmetric notion, that H acts on K, wait, which I wrote, K acts on H, but H doesn't have, you can view H as having a trivial action on K. So because, say, for example, you twist by H2 or something, and it doesn't change it, so you have some sort of trivial action. So now if you generalizing this notion, you will allow also a different, a second, I know, let's go there. And also an action of H on K such that these two actions are compatible, and you can, using, if they're compatible, you can define a group structure on K cross H. So let me write out the, well, I'm gonna write out the conditions. So there's a notion of a matched pair of groups. Matched pair of group. So this captures a compatibility condition. So so we are still not talking about by cross product for algebra yet. For bi-algebras, yeah. I'm still talking about groups, but at least I allow bi-cross instead of just cross, right? One-sided cross. So, but when you say bi-cross, you have, you know, so it's not this or that, but it's this. And in some way, so if I kind of stick in the feet there, you can say, like, still kx on h by some alpha action, but you also allow a beta there. So, now, there's this setup. So there, you see they're not just any actions. Because you want this to form a group in the end. So there's this associativity of if you want to, you want them to be associative, and you want the identity, like one to be the identity inside your group. 1, 1 to be your identity. So you will have some extra conditions. So this is a, so a pair HK, these are two groups, and said to be made and matched if there exists alpha K. In any case, it's very easy to get confused because two things, and there's left and right and all the time. Okay, left action of K, group K on set H. So you all assume you know action, group action on sets. and also you have like the right action of H on K. So it's right of H on K. Okay, such that such that this is a little tedious to write out. This is one condition. There are three more. So I guess these two will come from associativity, and these will come from the one condition.
Sorry, can you explain this one? The superscripts are conjugation.
Ah, yeah. So okay, sure. I need to say. So superscript means right action by this thing on this thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I'm just the alpha basically K H. I mean, I use different letters there, but it's like it's you write it as. This is a left action, so you write k dot h, okay? And the right action, say k, it still picks something in k and something in h, right? Then it's written as k, h acting on the right to on k. So that's just notation.
Okay. And then we're supposed to figure out z and z prime and y prime if they're in k or h by which is acting on which.
Yeah, but I can write it out too, right? But you can figure it out.
Okay. And
so, I mean, I can just say for all
Z's,
y's.
Z's are in K and Y's are in H.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. So maybe yeah. And H, okay. Yeah, Z, Z prime, just Z prime, but that's nothing else. Okay. So, I mean, so I can motivate this condition a tiny bit, right? Like as I said, so if you were working in that setup, well, let's see. So suppose you start with an action, you want it to give you a group structure, then you have to satisfy these things. And whenever you satisfy these things, it will give you a group structure, which is the next. Like the next theorem, it's just some things to check.
Sorry, so
I haven't write how do you get a group structure yet, but you probably can guess. Okay, I will write.
So in the semi-direct product, we insisted that the action of K be a group automorphism.
Right, it's kind of one of these things
so,
here.
So it's not right. That was not totally clear to me.
Right. So and the other one.
One thing, are we insisting? In the definition,
these two. Okay. So this being a group of automorphism. Well, so first of all, the right action is identity
for
that one. So this one to the y or all this superscript just doesn't never change your thing here. Then what you have is these two corresponds to the semi-direct product. These are the two you need to check. The other two are kind of trivial. So this one is just z prime. You know, if you don't look at this. You know, just you get those are automatic, and now you don't check these two, and this one is just your Z. So that basically, this is what you need to check for semi-direct product. Satisfy these. Mm. So that's why it's
okay,
a special example.
But okay, I can see that.
Okay.
Does it follow from these things that in the more general case where neither action is trivial. Mm-hmm. That each action is itself a group automorphism?
No, I don't think so. This is a special case.
Right.
If this is, you know, you replace this by just that, then this means a group automorphism. Otherwise, in general, you don't have a group automorphism.
Okay. But right? the other thing is that actually, so one thing I don't see is in the So those two equations show that the action is a group homomorphism.
Which one?
The two ones that you highlighted there.
Okay.
In the semi-direct case where the action of H is trivial.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't necessarily imply that it's not a homomorphism, right? Or in this case, are we also assuming that
so no, because it is because automorphism just means takes H to H. And by definition, alpha it goes into H. I mean Z dot Y is inside H. So it's a homomorphism if it's mapped into itself and it's a it's just an invertible that aspect,
right.
Not the fact that it goes back into itself.
Right.
Not it's endomorphism, but you don't know what it's an automorphism.
Right.
What's your assumption
that these actions are both baseball? Because it wasn't written in that. So I think. Okay, let me step back. Obviously, still, even if you don't make that assumption, it's still fairly true that the semi direct product is a special case, right? Because baseball action is a special case. But the question is whether we need this in the more dynamic.
I can answer it exactly, but I think I can hint on the fact that the setup look at the thing there, we want to put a group structure on H cross K. So in some way there's a bijection between as a set. So you cannot lose kind of some way if K it's the same K, you can lose anything. And you have to capture the different K information, which make it, or different, whichever way, a different H information. You need to see automorphism. You need to, for different H, you want to get different things in the end. So in that sense, we should want an automorphism of some sort. But here, do I always get that? I don't know. But they're a group, maybe. It will be, I think, because so any group homomorphism from K to to endomorphism of H will be into automorphism H because it's a group homomorphism. So if you take K and K inverse, right, they ought to map to identity. So phi K ought to have an inverse. So if your work.
Really not, right?
What do you mean?
If you take. Oh, I see.
Not spend so much time on it.
Because
K is a group.
Right.
Okay. So without loss generality, we can talk
about
it. Okay. Let's keep going. So we have the setup, and now when we have a matched pair of groups, we want to say how you get a group structure on H cross K. So then there exists a unique group structure. Maybe just write this down most inclusively without all the. So basically, you have. I'm gonna use my notation H and K. Okay. And maybe H prime K prime, then you will have So here you want to have use the left action of K on H, right? So K on H. You want to bring H prime forward, but you act on it by this first, by K first. And then the second part, you still have K prime here, but you can use this right action of H on K to move the K there, but acted on by H prime. So this action is another, it's the right action. So this, you define such a product, and you can check that this is a group product. I mean, here's some tedious work to be done, but this basically gives you H by cross K, the fact that it's matched kind of basically you can imagine it coming with this alpha and beta, right? It needs to come with such actions. So you can, like, I mean, these are things you don't have to write in, but I want to remind you about the dependence on them. So this is defined as, so as a set, it's just H cross K, and the product that's given by this is called the don't forget, this two-sided cross product of H and K. So now you have kind of a symmetric version. You don't like the H and K are a little more symmetric, even though there's still the difference between left and right. So now let's kind of move to the next step. How are we going to talk about such structures for bi-algebra? So I mean, this thing is what we want to do is such a thing. So how a step between group and algebra, so you can very naturally can look at the group algebra. So group algebra is this construction, I mean, that takes like G, I mean, and you get KG, which is bi algebra, where the algebra structure comes from the multiplication in G, and the bi, then the co-algebra structure comes from G. Just multiply the copies, remind you. So this is a special example of a co-algebra. I mean, so this is a co-product on this. And of course, and the product is the one on G. So now we want to extend this construction for K, H, and K to like K of H and K of K. You wanted to talk about so I want to define things on bi-algebras, which this is a bi-algebra. And I want to use this as a motivation about a little bit about what to do. And I'll introduce more general definitions for special case will give you, you know, a meaningful thing on this, which is compatible like with our definition on groups. So basically, something that will be true or we want to be true, but however you think of it, is this one. So if so you have two ways to get to an algebra involving K and H. So now, given two groups, H and K, you know, maybe matched pair. Okay, so I want to get a bi-algebra out of it. So one way is, let's see. Suppose I have a nice product on K, so between these two bi-algebras. Like, so let me call, I have something like this. But you want it to agree with, suppose exist. I want it to agree with a natural algebra like that we can construct otherwise, which will be, so this will be also a bi-algebra. Okay, so yeah. So here, by doing this, if they're matched pair of groups, we'll get a new group in the end, and K of this thing will still be a group algebra, and so still has a multiplication structure and co-multiplication structure. And on the left-hand side, like, we don't know how to define this yet, but that's what we want it to be, to agree with that. So because the motivation comes from groups, and we want it to hold, at least behave nicely with respect to. So it turns out the definition will be given as follows. I mean, it's nothing And then I'll write it down and say why it might be natural. So similarly, we need to define, so we want to say, first we require a pair of biotubers to be matched in order to define, to say that the, before defining biotuber structure on its thing, cancer product. So let's see. XA biotubers, okay, is a match pair. The, well, our pair is matched. Okay, match pair of biotubers. Here. So it's the construct. It's little. More, this condition gets a little more sophisticated, but basically you have one thing corresponding to each of these. So if there exists linear map, alpha A tensor X, you can try to compare to X, and beta A tensor X to A. So this will turning this into module co-algebra. I'm sorry about all this terminology. So module an action. Okay. X into a left module co-algebra. Over A, and this turning A into a right module coalgebra over X.
So why just coalgebra? Because the
this has the coalgebra structure. We want to keep the respect the coalgebra structure on the biology.
Right, why just the co-algebra structure?
Well, so for one thing, the algebra structure partially is captured in the module part, like some of it at least. Such that, let me finish writing it down. There's more. I apologize. Such that, so similar notations before the left and right action. So this lets denote this as left, this will be right action type of thing. Such that these conditions are satisfied. Okay. It gets like a lot more complicated in some sense, but it's in a way that extend the other one and uses the structure that exists. Everything corresponds except, well, something that I haven't gone through yet. X dot B X double prime. Okay. X. And then also, there's this thing which did not exist before. And maybe I never formally introduced sweet alert, but notation, but. For all like things inappropriate. Oh, okay. I'll write it. Let me finish. Okay. So what can you not? Which part can you not read?
So first of all, the sum. Don't feel like.
Because I did not introduce the Schwitter notation, right? So this means that the Schwitter, the A prime and A double prime means, so it's
just, okay, that's the other thing. So those are A prime and A double prime.
Yeah, but they're not those K prime and H prime. They're not independent. So we write, so when you apply the co product to A, you will get an element inside, what did I call this? Maybe A and B is an A. So A tensor A, and any element A tensor N, A can be written as some form like this, and A prime is an A, and A double prime is an A. Okay, but this representation is not unique, right? Like this summation, like, but however, you can either pick one, and a lot of things don't care about exactly what you choose in the calculation. So as long as you view it as a member in A tensor A, this is the same, this is a, it's a unique element in A tensor A. But you can choose any any of those decomposition you like and write them down.
So the sum is over decomposition?
Pick a particular decomposition and write it down. Right. And this formula is true for any of such decomposition.
Sorry, so the definition, it only has to be true for one, and then it follows that it's true for all, or definition is it has to be true for all?
I think it will be true for all. Like, a lot of time, it doesn't really matter which one you choose. So it depends on how they show up together, right? If you can view it as some sort of operation on an element of this, then it's fine, or you can check. But I think it should be okay if you're true for one, it should be true for all.
And basically, and so on the top is A prime on the left and A double prime on the right, and on the bottom is A double prime on the left and A prime on the right.
Yes, that's right.
So it's not just that they switch their acronym, they've also switched their order.
Yeah, I mean, so, one could just say, oh, let's define these things and that's what we want. But I just find it so non-motivating. Just look at this complicated mess of formula. But what I could do is to say how it gives us that, where's my group one? So these ones, right? So I can just illustrate that and say, let's just research the first step. So on this one, kind of corresponds to this one, right? And here, A prime and A double prime will be just A, and there's no summation. Well, you just one sum, like one term in the sum, because for a group, the co-product is just two copies of itself. So you get A dot X, and you should replace there, and also A dot Y. I mean, wait, A. Well, if you let this be the trivial action, I mean, so X is also just XX. So this reads A dot X, A raised to power X dot Y. Okay, and that's exactly what it says, if both A and X are groups. And you can check all of these. And now, if you want to use the coproduct structure on these things now, because they're bi-algebras, they don't only have this product. I mean, they don't only have this product, like say, they also have a coproduct, which might not be the same as the group algebra product, coproduct, right? Because it didn't come from a group, so the coproduct might be different. So to incorporate the difference, we just allow this prime and double prime floating around. Basically, they're coming from the coalgebra structure. And so it satisfies these things. They have to be satisfied if you plug in, well maybe this generalization, you don't fully constrain that, but this is a nice extension. And this is the new one. And you can see that this is satisfied, automatically satisfied if you're looking at two groups. So how do you see that? I guess because, in that one, it's a co-commutative thing, right? So like KG, K, if you are, X and A are group algebras, then they're co-commutative, so the prime and A double prime are all the same. So this is A to the X, A dot X, and this is also reads A to the X, A dot X. Right. But in general, if they're not co-commutative, you also need to check this one. Okay, it's looking a pretty involved construction. Then, so Now let's say that we've talked about, okay, I did not say how you get a group structure. Let me just, I will just write it out. Like, given a pair of things that are matched like this, then you can get a structure. So now, if it's a matched pair of algebras, except now I have to, I don't have to. Then you get some sort of, maybe I want to compare with it. Okay. Can I just, maybe I'll just erase this. Maybe it's a bad. So you'll get, here you will have, I want to put a bi-algebra structure on X tensor A. If given X and A, and I will denote this by something like, so basically X and A. You can still think of there's some sort of, something extending the action will look like that. So I mean, this tensor product replacing the product, because when you linearly extend, they get become the tensor product. And so the product will be given by. And y tensor b is, so now I don't use the prime notation because they will be, they're used to mean co-product extensions. So this will be x. Now you just allow the co-product and still have a left action here. And you want this right action now. So something like this, but with the second component of the co-product extension. That's your formula. So it's pretty similar. And the co-product, well, this co-product and this one, they basically just come from the tensor product structure. Like, are the ones on X tensor A. So these are not new, kind of. So when X tensor A, they are both co-algebras, then you get something on the tensor product, the co-algebra structure on the tensor product. So they're not new. The new thing is just the product. The unit will be still one and one. I mean, kind of by design, I think. So now, one thing, so if that's true, then we will get this property. Now let's see if this construction works for bi-algebras, but it also works for works for Hopf algebras in a trivial sense. I mean, it doesn't change this product. Well, no, I mean, you can define, so given X and A, say they're now Hopf algebras, then you can, so this one, match pair. Then this thing will have these structures, but it also has an antipode given by, a lot of formulas. So this means the antipode in X, and this means the antipode in A. So you don't need to check anymore. So a pair of Hopf algebras match if the underlying bi-algebras are matched. So that part you don't need to check again, but it just has an additional antipode. We can check this is an antipode. It's not particularly interesting. Or I don't know of a good motivation for this. All right, so the other thing that I should tell you is circle adjoint action. So after all that, we only talk about, I hope this bi-cross construction is somewhat well motivated now, but the adjoint action, I think it's one of the most natural actions. But let me say why we need to talk about it, right? So I'm talking about the actions because you see that in the definition of the, so DH is some bypass part of two things. So in some way, I need to specify the alpha and the beta that goes here. Okay, and I want the natural action of some sort of natural action of H on that and that on that. And the adjoint action is something that we are used to working with. Now, when you deal with the dual, so adjoint action is H on H, right, for example. But now you're saying H star on H or H on H star. H dual on H, that there is a co-adjoint action. And then we kind of play around with it. So this direction is slightly easier to get, getting this dual action on, action of dual space on H. So using a co-adjoint, which we'll define. But to twist that way around is you kind of replace this, you replace the base space and the action group of base space of this co-adjoint construction by some other things related to H of. Like, for example, replace that by, maybe I should just talk about it. Just an extra step, then you get an action of this on, you get an action of this on this. Okay. So let me just kind of sketch it. Maybe first just say what this is, okay, as in half algebra. So we know, we write it all out. So say if your H as a Hopf algebra is this thing, it's just a set, and mu, and eta, and so product, and also s. And we're dealing with, so far in this construction, we only need an s, like, for each of these things. We haven't required that the antipole be invertible in the construction, right? But now, this is co-adjoint action, which wants you to use the antipole, but also the inverse. Okay, well, this is because, so let's say this antipole is invertible. Then, you know, if you require this, then we have a half algebra structure on H star. Okay, so on H star, no, I mean H of. So I think it relies on the existence of this. So as a set is still H, now the H op, you get mu op. Okay. And so the op refers to switching the multiplication. Then you have your eta, you have, this is, doesn't change. Then now you have,
the delta doesn't change
here? Doesn't change, because otherwise we'll call it cop. Like, it only switches this one.
Okay.
So let me just write out, hopefully, what is this? Okay, so this is just BA, I guess. In your, you know, original H. There's not this product in H. So this will be your corresponding Hopf algebra. So you see that this antipole is replaced by S inverse. So I think you need this S inverse for, you need to be invertible for this to be a Hopf algebra. That's why, where you need this. Okay, and something we'll use later, maybe not right away, is this thing. I mean, it will be in this construction somewhere, but it's the second step in order to define H action on this. So Hopf is, so this one is, I guess you just don't change these two, and you change this one, and this is F followed by tau, right, remember? And this one is also S inverse S. So, now,
And if you switch both mu and delta, you can't hear that's just isomorphic to H again.
It's op cop, all these are isomorphic Hopf algebras when you define appropriately. So they're all isomorphic Hopf algebras, just different stuff. But they will be, you will have a different name for the thing that switches. Okay. But we only need this, I think. So let me define first the adjoint action. Okay, let's generally the adjoint action, you know what it is for groups, okay? So let's start with the adjoint action. Okay, so a joint action for say first for groups. I mean, every other a lot of motivation seems to be from group. So that one is just the conjugation, right? So maybe if the IHK, I don't know what. Okay, you just use this. It's like AX A inverse for groups. That's kind of because this is your G acting on G, that's it. Then you see this is because this tends to this. So one natural generalization is to replace using the coproduct, just like the idea there. So generally for phi algebras, so let's say how to say Hopf algebra. And also this S of A is A inverse, so you're going to replace this with S of something. Okay. S of. So more generally, generally, adjoint action for Hopf algebra will be given by. So it will be like H acting on H, right? So it will be given by A dot X. So both things are in H. Now you can use this expansion A and you say A prime conjugate. Well, these are all product in the algebra, I guess. So that will be your general adjoint action, following the spirit of everything else. And there's also right one, but let's not talk about it for now. So construction goes even more general, but I don't. Let's just not go too general. So we have this, but now I actually want an action of H star on H, right? At least as a vector space. Before you worry about the algebra structure, co-algebra structure. So also remember. Something before, this is just a reminder, and when we constructed this tensor category with duality, we used the Hopf algebra, we used the antipole in a certain way to give you an action of some H dual on H, right? Some sort. And this is given by, so let me be A, so I want some sort of let's say actually, so whichever way, I might have simply been switched. Just follow me here. So if H dual some kind of some an element of like dual vector space be acted on by something in H. So let's say A is in H, and let's F is in H star. Remember, we have something like this. And how do you define this? Give you. Again, you want to be lying in, and this is an element of H star you want it to be. So you evaluate on another element of H, say B. And this is the evaluation. So it just means this apply to B. Okay. So we at the time, we said something like F S S A B. And so this is a way, if I have a left action, I better get this straight. Yes, if I have a left action on H, then I get a left action on H star by this way. So a priori, when you do this, you usually, if you don't have the S here, that would be like if you're a right action, but with the S, you switch the row again, so you become a left action on H star. So this is, we do a similar kind of construction to get something in the action of H star on H. So, however, now we actually want, so given left action, I don't know if this means left action, I'll just specify left action. So sometimes you draw this thing. I think they always draw, they often draw it on the right, and they're usually most of the time things are left. So given that, you get this thing, okay? So now, I want something of this sort. And apparently, the right thing to do is to define things like this. Let me just make sure I have it right. A, F, and B is using the S inverse, okay? I mean, S inverse, A. In our definition, a match pair, we want it to be a module algebra. So there's some additional constraint that you respect also the coalgebra structure. And because I think it comes from because the coalgebra structure on H opt is like takes at this antiprop is actually S inverse, not S. So the right thing to do here is to write an S inverse. So you use this one. So again, you're given, you have this action. And you get another left action. And this will be defined as, so this is, you can check, it's a left module this turns H of into star into a left module algebra over H. And module algebra means that you have a module structure, and then the structure map of the module is a coalgebra morphism. And there's a lot of checking to do. So once you have this, so you get this from the left adjoint action, and you get the left action of H on that, that's satisfied. I mean, basically it will be the candidate for alpha. Now what's a beta? So I mean, I won't check all these for you, but I think I will say what is beta. It comes from another somewhat neat construction, I suppose. So now is the time you use the H pop. So now, given, so on H pop, I think actually it's even dual again. So you will have some sort of left adjoint action. On this, so let me so because this is by algebra, so I mean by the definition, you can define a coadjoint action on this thing. And now what you get, given that, I mean I'm just writing everything reverse, we get by the same construction there, you know, putting in the right S and defining the action appropriately on, so you will get op cop. This, you turn, then, okay, this thing, right, into the whatever module, blah, 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 and under, well, maybe you need to use the other way, actually, anyway. So you get some sort of action like this. And then now, so you want, let me just check. You possibly you need the right action here so that this is right, and then you can switch. But let me check what happens. So you want to this space basically would be just H, and so it's kind of dual. You know, you intuitively the dual cancels and you carbon up, but then you actually differ by. I think it might differ by something. Sorry, I didn't check everything that completely. Let's see if we. I have a suggestion.
You get what I was asking about before, when you switch both and you end
up. Yes, but I wonder if it's a morphism with H is via S. Yeah, back to normal. And the antipole will be straight again, will be S again. But back to normal, it still has an isomorphism, and I don't know. Well, maybe that's. The thing I'm looking at is the issue of left and right, whether it changes things. But so I want a left action. So there's an isomorphism. No, I guess that's enough. So I'm just worried about some issue of that.
So
I want to use the right action here.
I think the point is that the H pop star is now acting on this kind of, I don't know, it doesn't have a name, but it's kind of an H double up, where we've switched both the mu and the delta.
Yeah.
So basically everything here,
switch.
So if we take everything in that diagram and switch from left and right,
yeah.
then H cop star goes to H
yeah.
op star,
yeah.
and then say that everything switched goes back to H.
Yeah, everything switched. So I think from my summary of the notes I took before, I actually want the right action here. I want to use the right action here, so I get a right action here. If you do this, and check, I guess, and so the base space, this base space here would be isomorphic to just H, and the top is different from H of star, but differ by so okay. One thing I should know is like when you take the cop, and then so you switch the co-product, but when you take the dual, it actually switches the product. Okay, so and so on. Like when you take the dual, you switch the role of the product and the co-product, and so it's not quite what we want. And this you threw some isomorphism. So you can easily get the. So okay, maybe I think I want to say just this will give. Okay, didn't work out all the details. This turns H, so that's hopefully what's going to happen. Maybe we fill in the details. H into I want it to be right. Oh, maybe it didn't even. The problem is not even right. It just we want a right thing. So that's good. Right, module. Algebra over H of so okay. So there's some sort of isomorphism here, and there is some sort of isomorphism to op by S or something. And this is may not meet S. I forgot. I don't know, maybe it's just the identity. Maybe the isomorphism is the identity. But here the isomorphism I think is some sort of something involving the antipode. What is which one? Okay. Or it could be S squared, but I think. I don't know. It could be the difference by S squared here. But just because every time you switch you get some sort of S. S or S inverse, one of those. And then you switch twice, you either cancel or accumulate. So because I want the right action here, so I want to start with the right action here. So it's hesitating. But then you have to check that if it's this module map is a co-algebra morphism. So this is after this long construction, so you finally give this alpha and beta here. Right, they both come from co-adjoint representations by twisting around, and as we say, this one on this, so what's your, okay. Okay, this one and this is simpler. It's a normal co-adjoint, pretty much. The one's co-adjoint, and the second one is the co-adjoint. This on this comes from the co-adjoint action on this thing. Of that thing, it's not on that thing. Okay, so. And to keep putting it together, we got we can define this. So you can see this is defined. I want to say a couple. I will just start up with a couple of applications. I think. Well, I'm not sure if it's very enlightening, because I. Okay. So. Well, I haven't said the most important thing. So the most important thing is that it has an R matrix, right? Just let me write down the R matrix after all this. The whole point about enlarging the space, you know, you need to take a tensor product, physically the dimension squared, but you're doing it just so that you can have an R matrix. You have enough space and enough freedom to have something that satisfies all the axioms of an R matrix. Okay. The formula, okay, I actually remember this one. So, in DH tensor DH, so there's an external tensor product. This is a different one. Within each of them, there's, as a vector space, there's some sort of tensor product, but there's an external one. There is this element defined as, so they're both finite dimensional. And if you take let E, I, and E be dual, dual bases. Yeah, I think one of them is down. So this is your R matrix inside here. Universal R matrix it turns this into a DH into braided half algebra. So the half algebra part was clear from the whole by cross construction, just turns half algebra into half algebra. So that half algebra is taken care of. Oh, I need to say how with the braiding. I mean the algebraic braiding. And this one, so this is just one times that. And this is so the thing lives in the x. This lives in the, I guess, the second component of here. And then tensor with this is first component because well inside here is some sort of h of dual. Tensor H as a vector space. So let's write this. Okay, so this thing is in the dual space, so it kind of lies in here and so on. This is the second copy. Okay, but that's a long story, a little tedious job to check out that. But that's the punchline of this construction that you would have such. It's big enough that you can write it down, even in a nice form. And then, so the applications, just a few words. I'm done. Okay. An example of quantum, simple-ish example of a quantum double construction is you do this for kg and use the structure of kg. You know, you can try to act as an exercise, you can work it out and see what it is. And then, also, an important thing is that, so here I define this construction for finite dimensional half algebras. For example, UQ SL2 for Q being a root of unity, then this will, and take a certain quotient that will be finite dimensional half algebra. And you can do this construction to get a candidate for the braiding on UQ. So the claim will be this UQ blah 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 has a braiding, right? It's a braided half algebra. Even the whole thing, even the infinite dimensional thing. But we can, using this construction, we can find the one for the finite dimensional quotient. For some.
Finite dimensional quotient.
Yeah. UQ SL2 or UQ whatever. And this quotient only exists if we're working with Q being a root of unity. It only has a finite dimensional quotient if Q is the root of unity. We did not go through too much into the theory of UQ as a module, the algebraic side, but just take my word for it for now. You mod out by certain elements, and so basically you are modding out by this those generator raised to some power minus one. And if it's not a rooted unity, you're not modding out by any, I mean, kind of won't be finite dimensional. You won't have finite order, kind of. Anyway, so you get a construction for R. But the thing is that such construction, maybe even more somewhat more modified version, slightly more complicated, will give you, actually, it will work for infinite dimensional one as well. So you can kind of, you know, you do this for just the whole UQ and you will get some R. And so that one is kind of, we're just not discussing, I mean, in here, or it's like, and you will see that when you quotient, I mean, you will get this the R from this construction for the finite dimensional one. And the categorical intervention, I wouldn't even go into, I guess. But it, I mean, maybe I will just write down this line and you can ask the picture if you want to know what it means. So the A, the A module, the H module, let's say. I guess the, maybe just the finite dimensional ones, and is isomorphic to Z of okay. Well, I mean, hold that the finite dimensional here is right. Okay. So basically, so this one is, this thing is a braided Hopf algebra. Given H is a Hopf algebra, so as a braided Hopf algebra on the at the level of modules, you get it's a braided category, right? So this is one way to turn, you know, basically H mod into a braided category by this is one way. So this, you get a braided category, and here's also a braided category. So in here, it's just a tensor category. This is a center construction, which I didn't talk about, like categorically, and we'll turn it into a braided thing. You only pick out the things that has a braiding. I mean, kind of go through, and this will be braided categories, and these two are equivalent to categories. Maybe tensor categories, probably. Okay, so that's just an interesting mathematical fact. And just give you, it goes through some interpretation of, for example, DH mod as some sort of extra structure. So it looks at it as a DH module, but on top of being H module, it has some other structure. So you can kind of forget about D part. You just say it's not only module, but it has other structures that capture this part information, and you relate this to here. So. And it's just interesting. Okay, never mind. Let's stop here.